Hey Gamecocks, this episode is brought to you by Tailgate State. These guys deliver unique designs with fans in mind that you simply cannot find anywhere else. Tailgate State offers polos, t-shirts, hats, hoodies, and more with new designs dropping weekly. The best part is that for every item purchased, Tailgate State donates $1 to the corresponding school's NIL collective so you can get involved with the NIL movement, all while looking great. Get ready for game day the best way. Just go to tailgatestateandco.com. Use code GAMECOX10, that's COX, for 10% off. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 145 of Cox Talking Gamecocks, brought to you by Tailgate State. Go to tailgatestateandco.com. Use code GAMECOX10, that's COX, for 10% off. I am your host, Tim Cox, and I'm sad. I'm just laughing through the pain. I mean, talk about a mixed bag of a weekend for us Gamecocks. I'm obviously going to jump into everything in detail, but really was a mixed bag. And then, especially with Sunday not really having any action as far as the major sports are concerned, and then just knowing that Sunday going on is a game that we probably should have been in is just torturous. Like, I had Sunday plans for, like, if we got to the big game, where I was going to be, who I was going to be with. Instead, I'm sitting on my couch watching, like, Harry Potter on TV. It's just sad, you know? I feel like having gotten behind the mic and felt kind of this just overall, like, blah, maybe since, like, the Florida game, the football Florida game. That was, like, what, early November? So it's been a while, but hey, we're going to get through it together. Like I said, I'm going to recap everything here, but let's start with a weekend recap from around USC Athletics, starting with the football program. Getting two shout outs here. Shane Beamer picked up a huge commitment over the weekend, literally huge, from 2024 offensive tackle Blake Franks from Greenville. He is 6'6", 310 pounds, just a massive human being. He has been a target for South Carolina for quite some time, and this is impressive. This is an impressive get because you really beat out the main school that was also recruiting him, was Clemson. So you went into the upstate a little bit and you got this kid out of their backyard. That is huge, huge win for Shane Beamer and company as he is continuing to load up the trenches. And between Franks and Pringle and then these guys in the other class like Tree, the Great Wall of Carolina is really coming into focus, and I love the effort and intensity that Beamer and staff have put into beefing up the line of scrimmage, because that is something that we have heard him talk about for a little bit, that we need to get bigger and more physical up front. So it's very great to see. This was a big time welcome home. And then looking at some scores here from around the sports, Friday you had softball beat Florida 13-10, men's tennis beat Ole Miss 5-2, and then women's tennis beat Arkansas 4-3. Saturday, softball lost to Florida 8-1, and then Sunday, softball beat Florida, so won the series 3-0, and then women's tennis beat Mizzou 4-0. That's a nice win there. So a lot of news. That was some mainly good stuff, you know, from around the weekend there. And then, which brings me to the baseball team. The guys continued a strong start to SEC play by going to Starkville, Mississippi, and winning the series against Mississippi State. But that is not to say that it was without drama, as there certainly was some. You'll remember this series started on Thursday, actually. There's a couple of those that Carolina is playing this year starting on a Thursday. So game one, the Gamecocks got the victory, winning 6-4, and was just a great combination, really, of timely hitting, just consistent offense, and solid pitching from the Gamecocks. I was impressed just really by the team to travel on short rest. Your schedule's different, and then to play well the way they did and get the win in that first game, especially with you have Eli Jones getting the start. So you're a little off, right? Your normal first game starter is not in the rotation this week with Sanders. So Eli Jones pitched well. He ended up getting a no decision after going four innings and giving up a run. James Hicks got the win, pitching two innings in relief, giving up two runs as well. And then Cade Austin got the save and held off State, scratching back as they were able to get a run in the ninth. But obviously, Cade Austin closed the door and the Gamecocks got the victory. Some player highlights for y'all here. Cole Messina went 2-for-3 with two RBI, including a home run. Ethan Petrie, 2-for-4 with an RBI thanks to a missile of a home run. Like, this was shot out of a freaking cannon. Petrie is, I tell you, he is very impressive. You know, I'm going to get into it in a second here, but South Carolina is about to get into the teeth of our schedule here. So we're going to see if Petrie's strong start holds up for the freshman, but he is a big, strong guy. He plays well, loving what we're seeing from the kid. And then Michael Braswell, playing second base this game, went 2-for-5 with one RBI. Obviously, you don't love the circumstances in which Braswell has to be thrust into the lineup, but I am glad to see him playing there. I think he should be the everyday second baseman moving forward, personally. Game two was Friday. South Carolina lost 13-3 and was run ruled in the seventh. And, you know, now we can officially confirm that it sucks to be on the losing side of the run rule. Well, you'll remember that Carolina was on the winning side against Georgia and can confirm it sucks to be on the other side of it. It just simply was not South Carolina's day. It's just one of those deals where Mississippi State was due for a win. I don't think they had won an SEC game to that point. And South Carolina was eventually going to lose an SEC game. It's baseball. That's how it goes. You can't win them all. And so it happened. You just got to learn from it and move on. And it sucks. Noah Hall took the loss. He went 2 2/3 innings, gave up 5 runs. Player highlights, you had Braylon Wimmer going 2-for-3 with 2 ribbies, and then Evan Stone went 1-for-3 with 1 RBI, which brings me to Game 3, the rubber game, which was Saturday afternoon. South Carolina really fought in this game and ended up winning 14-5, but make no mistake, you know, this game was not in hand for a good bit, and especially how Gamecock Nation was feeling after Friday night. It just felt like the sky was falling at some point in this game. Gamecocks jumped out to a 3-0 lead thanks to some solo home runs to start the game. It was really fun and exciting. They ended up giving that lead up in the sixth inning, but then the guys never flinched. You know, they never flinched, they never panicked, and they had a pair of huge innings in the eighth and ninth, the ninth especially big-time inning, to put the game away and secure the series win. Very impressive on the road, too. Jack Mahoney got the start and a no decision, pitching 5 innings, gave up 3 runs, just one of them earned, though. James Hicks came in relief and got the win, pitching a final 2 2/3 innings. Nice weekend for James Hicks. Some player highlights here. Ethan Petrie, 3-for-6 with 4 RBI. Braylon Wimmer, 3-for-4 with 3 RBI, and then Cole Messina, 2-for-5 with 2 RBI. So up next for the Gamecocks is a huge, huge week of baseball. I mean, no rest for the weary. So Tuesday, the guys go up to Charlotte to play UNC. As of recording this, UNC is ranked 13th by D1 Baseball and is 20-8 overall on the year. Their season has been up and down, but can definitely not be taken lightly. I mean, they're a school that has a lot of talent. They've had some really good teams in the past, so you can't take them lightly. I mean, shoot, they're ranked 13th in the country. So my crow to the game here is going to be the bullpen needs to step up, because this is another week where it's a short turnaround before the weekend series. So I would assume Mark Kingston is going to be very reluctant to call in our better relievers. So whoever does get brought into this game has to be able to dig deep, get clutch outs, and be able to stretch themselves to keep the arms fresh for the weekend series. So you have to be very good out of your bullpen. And if you're Mark Kingston, you very well might have a couple of guys who are just untouchable for this game. It's a big matchup, but it's an out-of-conference matchup, and you want to win this one, and you want to play better in Charlotte, but I don't think it's one where, you know, I don't think you'll see Hicks regardless, right? But maybe a Matthew Becker, maybe he doesn't pitch, because you want to save them for the weekend, because the Gamecocks have an absolutely massive SEC weekend series that, again, starts on a Thursday, so it's like weekend slash series, right? But they are welcoming the number one ranked LSU Tigers to Founders Park in Columbia. Going into this, my biggest question is, are we going to see Will Sanders back in the rotation after being off this past series? I'm going to assume yes. I haven't seen anything as I'm recording now. If it's out there and I missed it, I'm sorry. But clearly, this is going to be Carolina's biggest test this year, but really kicks off what is about to be this really tough stretch, as I mentioned earlier, for the Gamecocks. It's, you know, after LSU, Vanderbilt's around the corner, and then Florida is right after that. So it is absolutely critical to play next to perfect baseball in this series, because you have to find a way to fight and beat these guys. And I think we're up for the challenge. You're going to need your starters to pitch well. I mean, I don't want to, like, there's going to be a little overlap between me talking about this now and the next episode. So spoiler alert, starting pitching is going to be critical for this series. And that's what you're going to need to perform incredibly well if you want to beat this team and take this series. And I think we are fully capable of doing so. But anytime you welcome the number one team to your place, you got to play well. And this is a real test, right? But time to put our money where our mouth is, and let's go. It's a huge week, huge, huge, exciting week for South Carolina baseball. Best of luck, boys. Going to be watching very closely. Which brings me to the big, I don't want to say highlight, low light, really, of the weekend. The big news coming from the women's basketball program. We're going to get through this together, y'all. We need to process it. Little Gamecock therapy, as I said, back in football season. So the women lost in the Final Four to Iowa, 77-73. Just stings. It stings to say it, even. And it was just an off night. The team was just off. You know, they just did not look as crisp as we had seen. Got off to a sluggish start. Real ticky-tacky fouls where you had Boston getting into foul trouble. But it just felt like whenever the team had a moment where you were like, okay, here we go, like, here comes our run, there was a mistake. There was a turnover. Or, like, we'd get up 1 point, and then we'd get the possession back. You'd have a bad pass that got turned over. You had someone step out of bounds. You'd have too quick of a shot, not getting a good offensive look and missing it, turning the ball over. You had errant passes. The communication was just off. It was just not our night. And it was a really shitty night to have a bad one because you're in the Final Four, but it still does not take away what an amazing season this was and what an incredible run this team was on dating back to last March. It's funny because this team accomplished things that 95, maybe even more, but 95% of teams would say is an amazing season, a historic season, right? Undefeated to this point, winning the SEC regular season, winning the SEC tournament, and yet it still feels like we fell short. And it just speaks to the level of excellence that Don has raised this program to. I mean, getting to a Final Four in and of itself is a massive accomplishment. You hang banners for that. Any other school that makes it to a Final Four, it's history, right? I mean, and it's always going to be history. But it just felt like this team was destined for more. I mean, Don has made a national powerhouse of our team. And she exemplifies what growing and perfecting one's craft is. And that's coaching women's basketball, right? She's one of the best coaches in the country. Probably one of the five best in the whole country. When it's all said and done, she's going to be one of the all-time greats. She's on the Mount Rushmore of South Carolina coaches right now. She has a street named after her. She's getting a statue. She deserves all that and more, right? But her game plan was off against Iowa. And as a fan, you know, I think it's okay that we can say this and we can acknowledge how great she is. The game plan was off. Caitlin Clark went for about 41 points. The whole entire Iowa team with that was 77. She scored like 40-something percent of their points, right? Whatever that math is. Clearly, guarding her one-on-one was just not working. So at some point, I don't know why there was not a very clear, just ridiculous double team on her and just dare any one of their guards to beat us. Like, give them open shots, make them make it, and just clean up the rebounds after that. I don't know why this was not just clearly just put two bodies on Caitlin, make her life hell, instead of, you know, playing straight up. And there were very good defensive possessions by us, but especially in that second half, she was going off, and it just should have been something where I would have liked to have seen a drastic change. And it was just tough to watch. It just stings. It happens, right? You don't have your best nights always. And Caitlin was going to get her. She's on a incredible run, one that we haven't seen, and just sucks that it was just this deal where Iowa was like, you know what we're going to do. We have Caitlin Clark and then that other lady who plays in the post. These two are going to try to beat you. And they did. And we knew what they were trying to do too. And so you put Bree Beal on her, Raven Johnson, Leticia Amy here, and it slowed her down to a degree at times. You just kind of knew what was happening at times. Like, all right, but nevertheless here, some player highlights for y'all here. Zaya Cook, 24 points and 8 rebounds. Camilla Cardozo, 14 points and 14 rebounds. Raven Johnson, 13 points. And then Aaliyah Boston, 8 points and 10 rebounds. And then speaking of Aaliyah, over the weekend, after the game was all said and done, believe it was on Saturday, she has declared she is heading for the NBA draft. So amazing congratulations to Aaliyah. Thank you, thank you, thank you for everything that you gave to this university and to this program. Your legacy will last a lifetime. You're going to be immortalized at USC in some way, shape, or form, probably with a statue. And thank you for everything. But with this loss, you know, it really is the end of an era in this program between, you know, Aaliyah and, you know, the freshie class, everything they did, the amazing accomplishments they have. It's the end of an era. So the task is now on Don to rebuild and reload, which, you know, she's already begun to do over the last two seasons, recruiting and the portal and things like that. But it really is, who is going to step up and create their own legacy? You know, you had Asia Wilson, right? Won a national championship. After Asia came Aaliyah. Aaliyah grew into the best player in the country and won a national championship. And now with Aaliyah moving on, who is going to be the next great Gamecock for this women's team? Dawn is a fantastic recruiter. She's very, very good at developing talent as well as the staff alongside her. So it's quite possible that this person is already on the team, right? Maybe it's Chloe Kitts. Maybe it's Raven Johnson. Camilla Cardozo had a fantastic year, has a couple years left of eligibility. Maybe she becomes this next dominant force. I mean, she really grew into that. Maybe there's a recruit or two who's coming on campus who will be the next great, right? But I do think that this game against Iowa definitely exposed a hole or two in this team, most notably needing another shooter or two, someone who could hit a big three. So I'm sure Dawn is going to address that possibly through the transfer portal. I also expect Dawn to look for some post players to replace Saxton and Aaliyah. But, you know, all things considered, you know, it's all said and done. The dust has settled a little bit now. Just this past season was truly amazing. And again, this team did amazing, amazing things. And it was a pleasure watching them this year, and it was even more fun getting on here and discussing them with y'all and following them so closely. It's a really crappy way for the season to end, and it hurts because it feels like we could have gotten it done, and it just hurts bad, right? But that happens. It's the blessing and the curse that is March Madness, that it can just all change in a flash just with one bad night. But the good news is that this program is not going anywhere, right? Despite who in the national media is against us, and despite who in the college basketball world doesn't want us to have success, we're not going anywhere. Dawn Staley is an incredible coach. She's built this program up to national excellence. We are a destination for top talent, both from the high school ranks and the portal, so have no fear. This team will be making deep runs in March again, whether that's next year or 2 years or the year after that. We're going to be back. It just stings right now, and you really wanted the freshies to get another crack at it to go back to back, but sometimes that's just, you know, how the ball bounces, I guess. It was a hell of a season. Amazing, amazing job to the ladies for getting to that point. It's a tough one, but we'll all get through it together. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.